Good morning, everyone. Happy Feast of Tabernacles. Me and my family, we saw the story of David at the Sight and Sound. It was a good show. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it. There was a scene in that where David is gathering all his supplies. He wasn't going to build this temple, but his son would. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. As we gather to celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles, let's take a look back at a special moment when King Solomon dedicated the temple to God. And we find that story in 1 Kings 8, 2 Chronicles 5 through 7. So just picture this scene in Jerusalem, a joyous assembly. During the fall feast, God's people united to honor him. Priests carried the Ark of the Covenant into the most holy place. And suddenly, a cloud of God's glory filled the temple, so overwhelming that the priests could not continue doing their jobs. This was God's presence descending to dwell among his people, sealing his covenant with them. Solomon, he stood before the altar. With his arms raised, he offered a heartfelt prayer of dedication. He praised God's faithfulness, admitting no building could contain the creator of heaven and earth. Yet he boldly asked God to hear every prayer offered towards this temple for forgiveness, provisions, or deliverance. Solomon's prayer was a profound act of surrender, dedicating not only the temple, but also the hearts of Israel to God, that they might be a light to the nations, revealing his glory to the world. Now, when he had finished, fire fell down from heaven, consuming the offerings, and God's glory filled the temple again. The people bowed in awe, overwhelmed by God's response. We see later in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, the Lord appeared to Solomon and he said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." A promise to the ancient Israelites. But more than that, if you're being called by God, it is a promise to you. If you humble yourself, obey God, and dedicate yourselves to him, his presence will remain with you. So where is this temple now? Well, today, we are God's living temples. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and who and you are not your own?" Through baptism, the laying on of hands, and lives of prayer and obedience, we dedicate ourselves to God, just as Solomon dedicated the temple. In humility, when we surrender to him, his Holy Spirit fills us like the glory that filled the temple, igniting a spiritual fire in our hearts, not just a physical flame, but a divine zeal that warms us with his light and inspires us. We are like temples, but even more, I think we're like many mobile tabernacles, carrying God's law and his spirit. Our bodies are weak, temporary tents, made glorious by God's presence. Like Solomon, we are called to pray boldly, trusting in the power of God who hears us. not in our own strength. The reason our prayers are powerful is not us. It is the power of the God who answers. Through prayer, we can align our hearts with His will. His Holy Spirit strengthens us through prayer, empowering us to reflect God's character, the fruits of His Spirit. As living temples, as mobile mini tabernacles, we carry the gospel, shining as lights in a dark world, as Jesus commanded on the Sermon on the Mount. Here, in this place where God has placed His name, our sacred assembly, our fellowship should kindle that flame brighter, making us a pleasing aroma to Him. Yet, we must stay humble. We are frail vessels, broken down tents, with nothing to boast of on our own. But God forgives, God cleanses, He strengthens us to fulfill His purpose. When we leave this feast, we go as beacons of hope, contact points for the world in need, offering prayers on behalf of others, and sharing the good news of Christ's soon coming kingdom. Our lives, like the temple, should be places of sacrifice, purity, prayer, and worship, serving others and glorifying God. From the beginning, God has called His people to be a light to the world, to be good stewards of His great blessings, to be an example and strive for world peace. We see in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over it." They were supposed to take God's example in Eden, expand it to the rest of the world. With God's guidance, they could transform this earth into a paradise for all. But they failed. And again, after the flood, to Noah and his descendants, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And yet again, they failed. God then chose Israel to be a holy nation, an example to the world through His commandments. At Solomon's dedication, it seemed like they might succeed. But then they too fell short. Yet God never failed. He sent Jesus to live as a perfect example, to offer salvation, to give us His Holy Spirit. Through the Great Commission, Jesus calls us to be His witnesses, ambassadors of His kingdom, lights to the world. There is darkness around us. This is our opportunity to succeed where others have faltered, to be a light to the nations. But it is not easy. That is why we must pray. We need to pray for strength, for faith, for forgiveness, and endurance. Because our land is sick and dark. Remember what God said. He said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." Jesus will return to heal this land. You know, it started with a single seed, one man, Jesus. From there, it branched out to the apostles, to the church, and it's branching out to us, and we're supposed to go out to the world. And when He returns, He is going to complete the healing of this world. So, how do we live as God's dedicated temples this feast? First, we need to commit to prayer. Surrender every part of your life to God. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Ask God to purify your heart. Pray with faith, trusting God hears and answers. Second, we need to intercede for others, lifting their needs to God as Solomon did for Israel. We need to be praying for others, especially God's people around the world. There are parts of this world that are not as friendly as the country we live in. Third, let our fellowship here ignite our zeal as we encourage one another to burn brighter. And finally, when you return home, be a mini mobile tabernacle that seeks first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Serve others and shine as a light to those around you. We need to use this time to recharge our batteries, to rekindle our flame. We burn bright together in this auditorium. It's a little blinding. I want to read another verse, but not out of the Bible. It's actually out of our hymnal. 133, we are God's people. Verse 4, it says, we are a temple, the Spirit's dwelling place, formed in great weakness, a cup to hold God's grace. We die alone, for on its own each ember loses fire. Yet joined in one, the flame burns on to give warmth and light and to inspire. You know, I thought that verse just fit nicely with my topic. Solomon's temple was a place of prayer, sacrifice, and God's glorious presence, a beacon to the nations. Today, you are his living temple. We are his living temples. We're frail tents, ablaze with the fire of his Holy Spirit. During this feast, deepen your prayer life, rededicate yourself to God, and let his Spirit kindle a zeal that transforms you and touches others. As we leave this holy gathering, carry this flame into a world desperate for hope. Be a refuge for the lost, a light in the darkness, and a herald of Christ's soon coming kingdom. Like Solomon, who was chosen to build and dedicate the temple to God, you have been called for a special purpose, to be a temple of God's Holy Spirit. It is time for you to dedicate yourself to God.